coffee's gonna make me sleep. But just one rose, it knows your name. The fruit is rusting on the vine. The fruit is calling from the trees.
Hey, don't you wanna go down like some chunky cosmonaut?
That buzz. Are we real loud? I don't know if we're real loud or not.
We might be real loud.
Are we even broadcasting?
Quiet down. Yeah, we're definitely broadcasting. And what we're broadcasting is a special edition of the Jick and Company show. Ooh. On account of Mr. Skullhead is off seeing MC Frontalot in concert, for which I definitely don't blame him, because how often does anything cool come to Minneapolis?
I think that there are those that would say that it is a cultural Mecca.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Are there those that would say that it's a cultural Medina?
I don't know.
Are there those
is
that would say
that
it's a
funky, cold?
Cold Medina?
It's definitely cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Like I said, you know, it's times like this that I really wish that we spent any amount of time at all preparing for these shows.
How so?
You know, because I'm just like, wait, what do I say? What do I say? What do I say? And I don't know what to say.
Say
it's luckily, there's
same
no one listening.
Thing that you say every week.
How have things been going since the last Thursday show?
You've done nothing but play Fallout 3.
I have done nothing but play Fallout 3. That is the truth. God damn, that game is great.
It sounds good. You've been regaling me with your exploits.
I know. Been telling the tales of my travails in the wasteland.
Somebody on the IRC channel I sit on that to keep track of all my old high school buddies, somebody posted a link to a Fallout 3 mod that makes all the text of like smaller, like a more PC appropriate font size. If you want a link to that.
Is that important? Like, is that a big deal?
Well, it's the PC version is a port of the Xbox 360 version,
really?
And so it's all TV text resolution.
That sucks.
It's not bad, though. I mean, it's definitely very big, but you never really have to read more than a sentence of your own reply to something. I haven't found that really bothers me at all. And honestly, I feel like they have... Oblivion's interface was fucking miserable on the PC because it was designed to be the same on both PC and the Xbox. And there are enough keyboard shortcuts for everything that I feel like I would never have noticed the interface being dumbed down at all. And it's definitely not like BioShock where the interface and the gameplay mechanics are super dumbed down for an Xbox audience. I really hope that Fallout 3 does well, and I really hope that it's not 5 years from now one of those things that, it was a big critical success, but nobody learned anything from it in the industry. You know, I don't want it to be Planescape Torment. I don't want to be in a club that's me and five other guys sitting around a fire with deer heads over the mantle talking about how great Fallout 3 was, and everybody else is just going on with their world. Fallout 3 has changed everything. They wanted to change the world with this game.
Right.
And I hope that they do.
I'm a little... not having played it, I was really surprised that, like, there was so much press about the, like, moral choices in BioShock. And, it ended up being basically whether or not you saved the girls. It was, like, one choice, and it wasn't very interesting. And it seems like Fallout 3 has just... a ridiculous amount of, like, real moral choices that you make throughout the game that have real impacts on how the game unfolds.
Yeah, the guy in the channel was trying to not give spoilers, but apparently there's, like, one quest where you're rescuing some woman or something, and how you go about doing it, and the conversational choices you take, and convincing her to do X or Y. There's, like, six different outcomes just for that one little thing. And
so
each one gives you a different, like, skill or feat or something.
That's amazing. That's great.
It's one thing that I would say is a lot of the time... it's a little... any given thing is going to be pretty black and white, right? Like, there's not... you can kind of... and I was... The One Up Yours podcast that I was listening to, they've been talking about Fallout 3 a lot, because several of them have been playing it quite a bit, and one of them said, you know, that the way that he usually plays games is as a Han Solo kind of thing, where he's overall good, but always sort of insists on getting paid. And the dialogue options make it so I'm never comfortable getting extra rewards for stuff. There's all kinds of people that you can release, and they say, you know, I don't have much, but I can give you these supplies that I've gathered up. And you always have the options of, like, sure, now get the fuck out of my face, or no, you'll need it more than I will.
Huh.
Right? And it's like, I'm like, okay, if there was a, you know, let's split it option, I would take that, you know?
Yeah,
so,
like...
The Han Solo dialogue choices are always a little...
Too brusque.
Yeah, I wonder... I'm going to try, after I finish it, to play through Totally Evil, right? And I'm really curious as to how will make me feel. I mean, it'll definitely be different. A lot of what I've been doing is finishing up all these quest lines that stem from this one central hub that the beginning of the game with you being evil is to nuke that hub.
Huh.
And it's just
fascinating.
It's just a crater instead of that town. So it's like, you know, and then I don't know if, like, then you're basically working for the mob, and so there's another quest hub of, like, evil things that you can do, because that'd be cool enough.
Huh.
Yeah, I've still just been kind of putting off the main storyline, just exploring all the little side areas.
It'd be weird if you could befriend a lot of the, like bad guy enclaves that you've just wiped out or, you know, cleaned up.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, I feel like there are a lot of... I feel like most of the humanoid enemies in the game are probably set up such that they're bad guys no matter who you are.
Just antagonists.
They're just orcs.
Yeah, basically. Because otherwise it'd be way too hard to really find anything to kill. There's enough just, like, mindless, you know, sort of animalistic monsters that the raider type common human enemy, maybe they could make those friendly to you, but I don't know.
Huh.
It doesn't seem like you'd be able to really interact meaningfully with any of them. Maybe the named ones, you know. there is a group of mercenaries that starts coming after you after you. If you blow off the guy who wants you to nuke that first town, you will periodically get guys sent after you with hits out on you. And I wonder if you don't end up working for those guys if you do
blow up the town.
Blow up the town. Because then, I mean, that's a way. You know, they have a compound that had at least one named guy in it, you know, who was just an enemy and who I shot repeatedly in the face with a shotgun.
Because you're a good guy?
Because I'm a good guy.
Right.
I'm a good guy, and so what I do is I repeatedly shoot people in the face with shotguns.
That's cool.
There's this kid, and you're supposed to, at the end of the quest, one of the optional things is to find a new home for the guy, and one of the guys on the podcast was like, yep, I found him a new home in the camp full of slavers. I told him it was going to be great, and I got paid for delivering it. Like, sweet.
He's going to grow up to hate you and Fallout 4.
I know. That'd be crazy if you could take a save game from Fallout 3 into Fallout 4, and then it's four different versions of itself depending on how right. you acted in the. In the
oh film. Wow!
I really doubt.
Yeah,
you could copy your characters awesome. Over from Heroes Quest to the next game.
Yeah, did it change anything based on your quest status
no.
on those guys? I don't think it did.
Just
I think
stats. You just
yeah. Which I always felt like. It was either gonna. It would either suck to play it with a really high level character from the beginning, or it would suck in general. I never played any past the first
oh,
Heroes
right.
Quest. Yeah, I mean, I dicked around in the second one a little bit.
It was
and
fun.
I guess that's not true. I played the fifth one or something, which was kind of a remake of the first one.
There was a fifth. I didn't. I never. The second one was the last one I played, and then I saw that there was like a third something or other.
So it was the one that was all like.
Arabian Nights was the
Arabian,
second
the one. Arabian Nights was the second one. The third one was like all African.
I don't remember that one.
I think it was. I think it was the one of the other races of people. Because it was the cats in the Arabian Nights, right?
Right.
Like the main town was the
Persia. What was it?
Yeah, I don't remember what they were called.
Yeah.
There's something that was called like Bashir in something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
But see, that was another game that like. A little ham-handedly in some regards, but like there were multiple ways to do things, you know, like relatively non-linear options in terms of questing, and like depending on which class you were, you could solve challenges in different ways and stuff. And that was just great. I just thought that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I really wish that I had had a different experience with that game, because the hardware that I was playing it on basically made it so I could never win a fight.
Yeah, see, that's
so the
that's
only
awful.
I was only able to see the game insofar as I could make it through it without. Like, I eventually got to the point where I was able to kill. I spent just hours throwing knives at the target on the south side of town until I got really, really good at throwing knives, and so I could occasionally beat goblins by just throwing knives at them before they got to me.
Gosh.
But if I got into melee combat, the controls were just so sluggish and unresponsive that I never really figured out how combat worked, because it was just over so fast. I just couldn't really do anything about it. That kind of sucked. And then I never went back to it. I had that computer for so long after that. And also I had it on 5 1/4 inch floppy disks, so I was not able to reinstall it on my next machine that I got. You know, maybe the next machine that I got did have a 5 1/4 inch drive, and I just never bothered. I don't know. I was too busy playing Star Control.
Yeah.
At that point. The first one, Star Control 1, which I don't think you ever played.
I went back and played it. It wasn't as interesting.
No, it's not. I mean, it's a totally different kind of game. You know,
yeah.
It was... A port of or an evolution of space war,
right?
Or computer space.
It's interesting, but so I mean, Fallout 3 has the same kind of thing where it's a sequel that is so excellent. The same way Star Control 2 was a sequel. They're taking source material and they're just using that as a springboard to make a really awesome game.
Yeah, I have not felt the same way about a game since Tron 2.0. Tron 2.0 wasn't even a sequel to a game. It was a sequel to a movie that I really liked, but it was so obvious to me that such care had been taken to treat the source material respectfully. And I don't really know enough about the early Fallout games. Like, I played into them a little ways. I definitely know the feel of them, but the story stuff I only know from kind of reading other people talking about it.
Was Fallout sort of the intellectual successor to Wasteland?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, because Wasteland was a fascinating game.
Yeah, I remember I played Wasteland for about 10 minutes, maybe 4 years ago, right? I never could get a copy of it to work on computers when I was younger, because I had pirated copies of it, and it was an old game even then when I tried to do it. I did play a little bit of Fountain of Dreams, which was a sequel to Wasteland.
Huh. I never heard about that.
Yeah, nobody really knows about it. It's weird. And it wasn't, like, officially designated as a sequel to Wasteland, but it definitely was. It was the same kind of thing. It was the same sort of combat moving around, but that was one of those games where, like, the same deal with that Battletech RPG that you really liked
when you were
younger, but I just couldn't get into it all because I feel, and I don't know if this is because I have become accustomed to sort of modern games that really do a tremendous amount of hand-holding, or if it's because modern games that do some amount of hand-holding in the beginning are just better. An RPG where you're not relatively assured of winning the first fight that you get into,
right.
That is a real turn-off to me, because I feel like a good RPG is gonna ramp up the challenge well enough to make you feel like you're accomplishing something, give you the satisfaction of learning how combat works,
right.
Gradually, without just being really punitive if you don't figure it out right away. And so, and Wasteland was like that. I was like, wow, I barely have any ammo.
Right.
And it seems to take, or at least Fountain of Dreams was. And I saw somebody play Wasteland for a while. What I did think was interesting was, like, places where you, if you have the climb skill, you can go past it into a map point to get, like, a treasure chest or whatever, you know, the equivalent of a treasure chest. So I was having a conversation with Mr. Magnifico today about how much I hated Oblivion and how much I love Fallout 3 and how there are so many comparisons that you can draw between the two. And I wonder if part of it is that, I mean, one of the things that I sort of came up with when I was talking to him was, I wonder if part of it is that I just, since World of Warcraft, I expect a lot more out of a fantasy game.
Ha!
You know, the environments in World of Warcraft have made it so any other environment in any other game has to be really cool for me to like it, because they spent so much time in the art direction there and just really making the places distinct from each other. And Oblivion, really samey all over the place. And they said, but that's not true at all. Sometimes you're in caves, sometimes you're on mountains, sometimes you're in these forests, sometimes you're in vast prairies. But I just remember Oblivion as being all grassland with periodic trees and occasional identical caves.
Ha!
And, you know, Fallout 3 is realistically probably a lot more samey than Oblivion in terms of, you know, what one place looks like compared to any other place. But, like, first of all, it's supposed to be like that, because pretty much everything in a post-apocalyptic wasteland is going to look like rubble, right?
Like Barney Rubble?
Yeah, yeah. Or Barney Miller.
Right.
There's some fish. You can go visit Wojo, and he gives you some quests. He's at the Hojo. You want to make sure and stock up on Mojo before you try to undertake any of the quests. You been playing anything hot stuff?
I went rock climbing.
Yeah.
And then I've been playing getting sick every weekend.
That's true. You've been playing ride your bike to work. I think it's the exercise that's
doing
making
me in.
You sick. Yeah. I should stop. Today was the second day I've ridden my bike the 7 or 7.5 miles. To the office.
So your ride is more impressive, because it's almost twice the length that I have to go.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Which means twice the overall distance in a day. I was going to say, which means I'm riding four times as much as you, but that's totally not how that works.
Right.
That's one of those associative property or something. Commutative.
I don't know.
One of those properties. What about you, Riff? Playing anything interesting? Just World of Warcraft.
Yeah, basically just gearing up for Wrath next week. I played a little bit of World of Goo.
What's
pretty
that?
Good. It's this sort of puzzle game kind of thing. You've got these little blobs, and when you move them next to each other, they form nodes of like a lattice kind of structure. Like imagine like I don't know, like the beams in a bridge, right?
Yeah.
It's basically like a cutified version of a bridge builder game.
Yeah.
They made a game called Tower of Goo that was sort of a proof of concept.
Yeah.
That was just stack these guys up as high as you can.
But it does a lot more things with it in this version, because there's not only, there's like areas where you have to build towers, but there's also areas where you have to build bridges, and there's all different kinds of nodes. There's like ones that will only connect to one other node, and there's ones that are detachable after they've been placed, and there's ones that you can set on fire, and yeah.
Is this a Flash game?
No.
It started out as a Flash game.
Yeah.
I don't know what
it's a downloadable thing.
Yeah. Huh. But it's I pre-ordered it a long time ago because I was it was like, we're not done with this game yet, but would you like to pre-order it? And here's a demo of the first level, and I'm like, yeah, this is pretty cool. I'll pay the like, $10 or $12 or whatever it was for it, and then like 6 months or a year later, it was like, hey, your game's ready. I'm like, oh, cool. So I probably spent a couple hours on it. I sort of forgot about it once I forgot that there were any games except for Fallout. I kind of want to cut the radio show short so I can go home and play Fallout 3 some more.
I also downloaded the new chapter of the Penny Arcade game, but I haven't really looked at it yet.
Remember how I came in here and I stripped off my old save games from this laptop so that I could take them home?
Yeah.
I put them somewhere on some computer on the internet, and I just have no idea where. I went home and I didn't do it that night, and then I was like, okay, let's see. Let me find where I put those save games, and then I looked around for about 15 minutes, and I'm like, well, I guess I'm not buying this game tonight.
No.
Did you put them on a dev server that you then deleted and reformatted?
I think it was after that. Hey, speaking of which, though, it seems like Rollover almost worked both of the last two nights. Somebody reported that their mall purchases, as far as limits were concerned, hadn't been reset, which that's one of those fucking things that probably didn't run.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I put in some code before that to reconnect to the fucking database. That's goddamn bullshit. There's a much better solution to this. I'd like to stop fucking with it, and I keep thinking every time I do something that's the last thing I'll have to do, but seemed to work out okay. Long Rollover ran. I don't know if it did what it was supposed to do or not.
We just can't afford to have like things explode while we're not 100% sure that all the backups are happening.
They are.
Right.
No, we are 100% sure that all the backups are happening.
Okay.
I verified that after the first night. It was just a reporting issue on our end. After the first night where I was like, I'm not sure the backups ran, I said, hey, Jeff, did the backups run? And he was like, yes, they did, sir. He didn't actually call me sir. We don't have that kind of working relationship.
Didn't he also say, oh, there won't be any problems when we upgrade?
Jeff, I'm nervous about changing the OS on dev. I know you are, but we've got it all under control.
Yeah.
Let's get into questions.
Okay.
Wow, it's fucking 7:30.
Yeah.
Dicked around for half an hour. Man.
We're not dicking around. We're discussing games and game design.
Yeah, I mean, half an
it's
hour
what we do.
Is pretty standard for us, I think.
Fine. Metal Ganon says, when can we expect any new boss enemy? Will it have any special ability? Oh, we're all about boss enemies with special abilities and optional content now, so I'm guessing that there'll be some underwater bosses.
Yeah, I haven't even thought about that yet.
We haven't really done much in the way of like a quest line or quest lines down there, you know, so.
That's true.
It's going to get harder and harder to add these zones.
Why?
Because they're going to end up being more and more content when we do. I guess we don't necessarily have to make each 2 week period a zone, right? We could just, once we get a couple NPCs down there, we could just say, all right, this 2 week period, what we're working on is a quest to go kill a boss, and then a drop that you get for killing the boss, and then that'll be that. I know people are not particularly excited about the underwater stuff, and it's, you know, it's the risk we run doing things in this way. But I just didn't want this to be something that we worked on for 6 months, and then it. You know, I'd rather pepper our lives with a little bit of disappointment over a long period of time than let a giant icicle of disappointment build up to plunge through all of our hearts.
I feel like people are excited about it. It's not.
I don't know where those people are.
There's a thread that's like, ooh, underwater content. They talk about it.
Yeah, it's like three pages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got three zones.
Uh-huh.
It's a page per zone, man.
Yeah. How long was the Spooky Raven thread? 4,000 pages? I think it was 4,000 pages.
I don't remember.
And that was back when each page was set to display a million posts. So there were actually 4 billion people happily enjoying and talking about Spooky Raven when it rolled.
Right, because each one of them made a single post.
Yeah.
About how happy they were.
Yeah, and nobody ever double posted because that was an age of unrivaled prosperity and peace and law-abidingness in the forums. Those were the days.
Those halcyon days of yore.
Yeah.
Why halcyon, really? Because isn't halcyon just like a shade of yellow?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, what the hell? Like, is it sepia? Is that what we're going for?
I don't know. I don't know. I heard there was a book that I had that came with the secondhand computer that my dad got me for Christmas when I was 7 or whatever. And it was just a book of like learning to program in BASIC with your TRS-80 color computer too.
Okay.
And there was a chapter entitled The Halcyon Days of Youth, and that was the first time I'd ever seen that phrase. I don't know what it was about. I don't remember how it actually applied to anything. But I never bothered looking up Halcyon, because that's the only time I've ever seen it
used. That's the only context I see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or rather, yeah, the only way in which I've ever seen it used. You had me there. Metal Gannon also asked about how many non-contributors have ever gotten a raffle prize. I would have to imagine a significant fraction. I mean, we've never paid any attention at all.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, I mean, I feel like, in general, there is no reason to assume necessarily that a wealthy player is a player who has donated a lot, because, a wealthy player is could be someone who donated to get seed capital, or it could be somebody who got lucky. You know, it could be somebody who had a really, really extraordinary streak of luck in the MMG, and then through shrewd investments made lots of meat. You know, I understand that people get upset about the raffle stuff because it favors the rich, but realistically, it doesn't favor the rich any more than anything else in this game or in the world. And additionally, it is a device for taking wealth away from the rich.
Yeah.
It just because the one guy that wins, you know, makes back twice as much meat as he put into it, doesn't mean that it is not in general lowering the average wealth, because the money that goes into the raffle house is never coming back. The money that guy gets is coming from elsewhere in the economy. And, you know, maybe it creates more super rich out of just mostly rich, but there's only so far that you can go with that. You know, I mean, you basically eventually get to the point where you have enough money to get whatever you want, and then you're not really any different than anybody else who's in that position, you know. And the thing is that, you know, somebody won one of these things with 8 tickets the other day.
And there have been historically a ton of raffles that have been won but with single tickets.
Yeah. And so that is just taking some random player who is not wealthy and making them fabulously wealthy.
If that's what they want.
Just via chance. Yeah, if that's what they want to do with it.
Or just use the prize.
Familiar that they want, or, you know, something to hit monsters with.
That said, I mean, people definitely tend to win with hundreds or more tickets.
Sure. But, I mean, every day, hundreds of millions of meat are spent by people who don't get anything for it. And, you know, in that way, it's as equitable as it can be. I understand that people want us to do a raffle where everybody can only buy one ticket, because then it's truly fair, or whatever. But, like, you know, the raffle is a meat sink. And the raffle is a meat sink not because, like, we're assholes that want to sink meat. It's because sinking meat makes the game better and makes the economy better for everyone. So, you know. Yeah.
Also buy government bonds.
Like a what?
I said, also you should buy government bonds.
You could bury government bonds. His middle name was Government, wasn't it?
I think so. You could get one quantum of solace for that.
Yeah. All right, I'm going on record as saying that I am not going to see Quantum of Solace because of the
pay to
right.
See
I'm not going
to
pay it. If I'm going to see it, I'm going to steal it. It'll be the first movie that I have ever downloaded off of the internet.
Because have you heard something about it being particularly crap or something?
No, I have seen nothing but fucking advertising tie-ins with it.
I have seen an inordinate number of advertising
for every
tie-ins.
Fucking product, and I am afraid that it is just going to be so rife with product placement that you won't even be able to see any of the action happening past the giant cans of Pepsi or whatever the fuck is in the center of the field of view all the time. Let's see. My wife suggests that we should try a bailout instead of a meat sink. Or that perhaps America itself needs a meat sink instead of a corporate bailout.
That little, tax code thing that lets banks buy other banks and not use the bank that's being bought out's losses as a tax write-off seems a little sketchy.
Arguably, it would not be good for Joe Sixpack if every bank went out of business.
Joe the plumber?
Yeah. Joe the plumber Sixpack.
Sixpack.
Because he's a wrestler.
Right. <So it's> just no, sure. Sure. It would not be good for any bank if every plumber went out of business, too.
Well, okay.
But, like...
Fair enough.
What frustrates me is that, like, at the heads or at the tops of these corporations that are getting bailed out are a bunch of people who have been paid millions and millions and millions of dollars in salaries. If nothing else, their salaries have been way, way beyond sort of what is commensurate for what their work should probably be valued at. Granted, you know, we're in a free market, so people will pay, you know, people whatever. But those companies fail, and there's no accountability for, like, sort of the gross mismanagement of that aspect of things, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, in my mind, the accountability is the people who work for them could go work for somebody else.
Sure. Right?
I mean, or you could do what I've done and start a company where, you know, the CEO of this company, at least my salary that I pay myself on paper, which granted does not include a lot of the things that I use to sort of make my life more comfortable, but still is, you know, maybe 15-20% higher than the highest paid other employee than me. I mean, there's no chance that I am ever going to use, you know, 100 times as much money as anybody that works for me. So, you know, guys, donate a lot of money, and then you can, when we expand, you can come get a job working for me, and then you don't have to worry about the CEO of the bank. Oh,
that would be
for.
Weird if Asymmetric just sort of slowly took over the entire world.
Right. One gamer at a time.
I promise not to even raise my salary. I would continue to happily live my current lifestyle, and I would run a company that employed billions of people. And I could pay each of them to make a single congratulatory post on the forums all in one day. Hercules Romana says, new raffle stuff available to the public, that is, to people that don't have millions to spend on raffle. Yep, same as it ever is, man.
You need at least 1,000 meat to participate.
You need at least 1,000 meat to participate, but for 1,000 meat, you can buy a dream. excuse me. Dry's 1989 says, new familiar based off of Robot Chicken, the cybernetic fowl. The Robot Chicken in Robot Chicken doesn't really do anything.
I don't actually remember seeing the Robot Chicken in Robot Chicken.
It's just in the intro.
Is it? That's the
intro's
only
thing. Like, yeah, it's like a mad scientist, you know, cybernetronificating. You know, because they're good at cybertronics.
Right.
They have the world's...
I thought they were cybertectonics.
Foremost robotechnic experts. Yeah.
Robotechtronics. That's right.
Metal Ganon says, actually, why wasn't there any scorpion in the radioactive infestation? I don't know. It just didn't turn out that way.
Snakes are scarier.
Yeah, he wanted to put the Gila monster in there, and, yeah. JIK Forever says, why are the curse items called curse items, other than, you know, because they all use curse.php? Well, we had initially conceived of them. What was it? Were the first ones the mob hit things?
I believe that was the first use of curse.php.
Yeah. They were conceived of as, like, sort of nasty things that people could do to one another.
Actually, and it might have been its own script.
You think?
I think it might have been.
Any of them that didn't do anything particularly bad, or any of them that did do something particularly bad were going to be limited to people who had smashed their hippie stones or whatever. But then the response, whatever that means, the response to the mob hits was so overwhelmingly negative that we didn't ever decide to really make them nasty. So we're like, hey, you know what? Yeah, let's let them give each other foot rubs and shit.
That was one of the first infinite meat bugs I found, actually.
Really? In the mob hit
code?
How did it work?
You had to... It was complicated. You had to have two... You could only have two people on your friends list. And because there was an attack that would hit people on your friends list or something like that, but you would actually get some benefit from it. And there was some way in which you actually gained meat overall by doing it. And so if you could script the creation of accounts and the creation of people on people's friends lists, you could sort of, by way of pyramid scheme, get an arbitrary amount of meat.
I see.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You're a dirty exploiter.
Yeah.
Metal Ganon says, is the old man by the sea the one who messed around with the Grim Grimmicite site? You don't know. Oh, and then Butsuri points out that the Erilu planet, the Erilu home planet, was called Fala Yala Ralfali.
Wow.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Spearmeister says, hey, thanks for referencing the Erilu. I've been on a Star Control 2 bender lately, but I haven't met up with them yet. When I do, I'll think of you, Bubble.
I had just finished reading Whitley Strieber's Communion, and so there was one of the most memorable nights of gaming in my life. I had just finished reading Whitley Strieber's Communion and playing the original Alone in the Dark, the one that was like based off of H.P. Lovecraft. And so I was just terrified out of my wits, was in the middle of a Star Control 2 game, started playing that, and then just got to the Arlu section where you go to Quasi Space and are talking to them, and it was like 4 in the morning, it was pitch black outside, and I was just sort of curled up on my chair, just sort of shivering, because I was just so scared about what was going on. It was great. It was so
kind
good.
Of a pussy.
It was awesome, though. Did you play the original Alone in the Dark?
No.
That was a scary game. Stuff would just, like, you'd, like, open a door, and there'd be something there with a knife, and it was coming at you.
Really?
Yeah, it was terrifying.
No, I never played it at all.
Like, looking back on it now, it's just, it's awful, but it was, at the time, it was incredible.
Matt G987 says, any progress on the cult of the followers of the Hungry Hungry Hippo? It was the cult of the feeders of the Hungry Hungry Hippo. And no, but now that we've got things in the game marked as round, we still need to maybe we should just do that as like a world event. Like
some sort of cult?
Yeah.
I forget how that came up.
Oh, it was just an idea that I had for a cult in the game. No, in real life actually I was going to start a cult. First, I need to write a whole bunch of really bad science fiction.
Right. You can do that later, too.
Oh, right. I don't have to get it all out of the way before I start the religion. Top Hat says, so far my favorite character in Fallout 3 has been the two skeletons I found spooning in a bed. Super Monkey Man says, why do people buy items for 100 meat and then put it in their store for 300 meat? I don't know, Super Monkey Man. Why do they do that?
That's a weird riddle.
Maybe it's a koan. Not supposed to actually be answered. No Hurt Me says, any chance of ever adding more stickers as time goes on? I don't really care if they're really useful. I just like new funny/interesting content. No, I don't think that we will add any new stickers to the tome.
Yeah, I would be surprised if we did.
As much as it would have been, you know, had I thought of this way of doing this back in the day when it was the first trip I took to New York. I think that was the same trip where I met you, where I was trying to conceive of the Seal Clubber level 15 skill. And I was like, it was the second day that I had spent in a museum, so I took a break to just sit in front of this Egyptian temple that they had reconstructed inside the Met, I think, and try and work out how the Seal Clubber thing was going to work. I was like, all right, so you smash equipment into stickers, and then you can put stickers on your equipment. And if I had thought of the, like, just making a paper weapon to put stickers on that you could only ever have one of, I might have done it such that, you know, there were stickers. Well, first of all, ones that you'd get from smashing equipment, obviously. So, you know, it could have been a more core mechanism to the game. But given how long it took and it coming up in the context of an item of the month, I don't really think that that's going to become another sort of broad-reaching mechanism in the game. The game doesn't really need any broad-reaching new mechanisms, I don't think.
It's interesting how that transmuted, though, the notion of stickers starting as the proto-pulverize.
Yeah.
And becoming night a month years later.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because it was always an... It also, I was like, I think towards the end of it, I started feeling like it was a little too cute for it to be like a big smash with club kind of thing. But, I don't like for ideas to just go away completely, you know, and so anytime something doesn't work, I mean, it's always kind of sitting on one of the many little mental back burners that we all have.
We actually have literal back burners for ideas.
We do?
Yeah, they're in the
kitchen. Yeah. I was wondering what that stuff was in all those pots.
Ideas.
Yeah. they're brewing.
They are.
Grimdell says, just curious, how's the new Meat Sink Raffle House versus the old one, i.e. the last few days compared to the last few days of the old
hugely
order of magnitude
yeah.
better? And then he was the one that suggested a third type of raffle where each player only gets one entry. You know, maybe someday we'll do that. Wouldn't be too hard. Really, now.
I mean, I guess it's not really a raffle. Say the holiday content, wouldn't you get one of four or five different things or something?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I could see, you know, if this one starts going downhill a little bit, spending a week where we do a raffle where you can only buy one ticket, you know? Because what's it hurting, really? I mean, and it's if it creates some goodwill at the expense of a couple hundred million meat sunk, then
right.
It wouldn't be the end of the world. But certainly not now. This is great for the game from where we're standing. So, you know, just trust our invisible hands, kids. This will be good.
We also have to trust them because we can't see them either.
Yeah, that's weird. And it's like the left one can never see what the right one is doing. let's see. Pasta Golem says, here's a thought. Why not have a player have a shelf of trophies accessible through a link and one in their profile like tattoos? Yeah. I don't know. Matt G987 says, how about as you gain more trophies, you have to pay to increase from one shelf to two until you eventually have your own trophy hall with cases all around. Great opportunity for sinking meat. That is to say, you could display only so many trophies at a time. You would have to select which ones and where to place them. Yeah.
Having a single shelf in the profile and then a link to your full display case of trophies would be preferable in my mind, just because the trophies are just gotten out of hand in people's profiles.
Yeah, but I think had we had the foresight to do that from the beginning, I would probably agree that that's a much better way of doing it. But
toys away.
Yeah, at this point, it would just it.
But we keep giving people new trophies.
That's true.
They keep expanding the profiles are just very very tall.
Yeah,
in great part due to trophies.
I don't think about it because when I look at somebody's profile, it's already really tall, so I don't notice how much of it is actually taken up by the trophies. But I guess it's a little weird that all the links to contact them are underneath all the trophies. In a way, people probably want that because that forces people to scroll through their retarded trophy collections. But, yeah. You know, I think the number of people who are bothered by the huge displays of trophies is probably smaller than the number of people who would be pissed off if we suddenly stopped letting you display them all. And the fact that we are in that small number doesn't mean that, you know, it doesn't mean that we are necessarily in the best position to call the shots on that kind of thing. So it's, you know, like fucking giant-ass mall stores, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there are, you know, people want the ability, at least one person wants the ability to see on a search how many items are in the store so that they can just not give their business to people with hundreds of items or thousands of items.
The new mall functionality honestly goes a long way towards discouraging that, where it auto-selects and auto-scrolls to the item that you searched for. So you can just page down to the bottom and buy it.
Right.
And you don't have to bother.
Can you not just hit enter to...
You might, depends on your browser, probably. You might be able to.
You might be able to also hit tab and have it automatically jump you down to the quantity box.
Yeah, I think you can for a lot of browsers.
Yeah. Changing the search would also, like, I don't really care that the items are there. I just don't like seeing them. So changing the search to the way that I want the search to work would also, I think, prevent a lot of that just random bullshit from ever showing up. So maybe that would also discourage people from having it in there.
If you change the search in such a way that it broke all the mall bots, that'd be good.
Yeah, it probably would.
All right.
Yeah. Also, it would... And the primary concern is making the search a little more useful for somebody who doesn't already know what every item in the game does.
Yeah.
Basically letting you filter the search. For a long time, I just couldn't figure out a good way to do it, but then I was like, well, you know, something about a tenth as complicated as the auction interface in World of Warcraft, right? Not quite as flexible.
The flea market goes a long way towards introducing you to what items are in what categories.
Yeah, no, and that's the truth. But I mean, the mall is just better than the flea market, basically, in every regard, right? So. I don't want to take that functionality away from people, but just the fact that that's one of the only places in the game that you just get a text list of items and you can't click on them to see what they do or anything, like, that's kind of bogus. Yeah. Like, the search interface, a lot of people are going to be pissed off if I change it, but they have to admit that it is crappy the way that it is now, you know. And you know, maybe it's one of those things that it's like, all right, interface changes for the new kids, and then all the old kids are like, fuck you, screw the new kids.
On the block.
Yeah. I heard that they all were hospitalized with gallons of semen that had to be pumped out of their stomachs. Or no, they were all hospitalized because of the gallons of semen that had to be pumped out of Rod Stewart's stomach. They were really, they had sympathetic stomach cramps. So bad that they had to be hospitalized.
Sympathetic stomach cramps?
Yeah. And when they drove away from the hospital, there was a hook hanging from the car door. Dry's 1989 says, WFT, Jick. I don't know what that means, kid. Terry on says, can we get a link back to the island from the screen? There are no hippie soldiers left. Their way to the camp is clear. Yeah, yeah. I believe that I've gotten, at this point, most of the places in the game that do shit like that. But that is clearly one that I have missed. ChefBub27 says, hey, Jick, I think there's a grammar error in the non-combat Van Damme. It says, but you're not all you find there. I think you meant, but they're not all you find here. No, because it says, you find yourself at one end of it, but you're not all you find there. And that's how it's supposed to be. If it said, they're not all you find, there would be no referent for the they. And so then that would be a syntactic error. Apocalypse Throb says, after you have the polymorph wand, can sometimes what appears to be a cloak actually be a cloak? No. No. It's always a mimic. All cloaks are mimics. We should be able to use the number scrolls on the black adder also. I don't know. I don't think it's a full adder, so... Get it?
Yeah.
Get it. 1 week out of the month, the miss accessory should also grant plus damage, plus meat, and plus items effects. And maybe whine about cramps in chat. Everybody, that's Apocalypse Throb! Big hit with all the ladies. One thing that I think is a good idea. Do you not like this idea? Just don't like the idea of changing it?
I feel like it. The point of making it in the first place was equality. And while it is not completely equal, it is way more equal than what you're about to suggest.
Okay. Well, then a new One Mr. A item that does the same thing.
Sure. I'd be totally fine with.
All right. Then, done. Basically, the idea was... It could be like mean uncle accessory. Yeah, drunk uncle
drunk
accessory.
Uncle.
Yeah. Drunk child, drunk molesting uncle accessory. If we were to change drastically the function of the Miz accessory, we would give people probably a grace period of a month to convert them to Mr. Accessories, and so that people could trade them back in. But the idea it was basically in an effort to sort of make the new PvP system plausible. We have had to restrict donation gear from it to some extent, to most of the competitive aspects of it. And so, if the new PvP should get really popular, we're sort of shooting ourselves in the dick in terms of donations. So, the idea that I had was that we would make the Miz accessory, like, plus 5 to all stats and plus 10 PvP fights a day. Those are going to become a lot more valuable currency in the new system, because there's going to be a very...
distinct advantage to being able to fight more in a day.
Yeah, and a pretty expansive set of rewards for participating in the new PvP also. And, you know, in the hopes that... Well, I mean, partially because the rewards can be used to...
kick that much more ass.
Yeah, rewards can be used to balance class iniquities on the fly, and there's all kinds of reasons for us to want to do it, but also giving people a big stack of shiny things to entice them into actually playing the game, you know, basically to lure victims in for the people who are really into PvP for its own sake, you know, and that just makes the whole thing sort of better for everybody. But it is one of those things that, you know, okay, you can just kind of sit and do this forever without ever giving us any money. And, well, you know, there are a lot of other things in the game that work like that. It's just, you know, there's basically the Ascension game, the Aftercore game, and then what we're trying to do is introduce a whole, you know, a new aspect of gameplay that people can focus on if they want. And it was one where, unlike the Ascension game, certainly, and Aftercore to a large extent too, there was no advantage to donating, basically.
Yeah.
Except maybe getting some more meat. You know, if we decide to put anything in there that costs a significant amount of meat. But I almost think that would be a mistake to really... I kind of, as much as I like putting things in the game that cost millions of meat, I don't really feel like it's that good of an idea.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of a slap in the face for a lot of people.
Yeah. And it's a... And I, you know... Like I said, I honestly... It never even occurred to me that there would be a donation spike when Hobopolis rolled out of people buying Mr. A's to sell
to fill
for the cash to dig a basement. And if somebody had asked me, is that going to happen, I probably would have said, wow, yeah, it might, I guess. But like then everybody was like, oh, they're obviously just doing this to get people to donate, because anytime we put anything in that costs a lot of meat, we suddenly get accused of cash grabbing, even though we've done something that has nothing to do with... a revenue
cash.
Model at all.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's like... but it doesn't matter. It is the ill will that it engenders that is the important thing. Nobody really cares about the truth. Right? So... anyway, no donation advantage to speak of in the new PvP stuff, and so I feel like I think that a Mr. Store item that just granted you additional PvP fights at rollover would be... a pretty equitable way of doing it, because you can't get anything that other people can't get. You just
eventually.
get it a little faster, right? And that's kind of the way that it works in the rest of the game. You know, it's not we absolutely did not want a situation where somebody who donates is going to beat someone who does not donate at PvP. You know, you basically can't do that. Part of the reason that our revenue model works the way that it does is because we are essentially a single player game, right? Other games, they think, well, the only thing that we can sell people for microtransactions is haircuts and shit,
right?
Because, you know, if you're fighting against other people, which I don't really understand why people feel that way, because fucking Gunbound, maybe you could get stuff in Gunbound without giving them money, but giving them money made you so much more powerful to begin with, and all of the gameplay was fucking PvP. And Gunbound, and I don't know why. Like everybody we talked to, all of the like presentations at the GDC and stuff were like, well, you know, in a competitive game, and you know, like Nexus War. I feel like Nexus War just doesn't, because it is so heavily PvP. He thinks that you cannot let people donate for an in-game advantage because it would just ruin things. And I'm not sure that has to be true. It might be the case that you can't start out that way. It might be the case that you have to get enough people there for there to be a player.
Critical mass.
Right? But I feel like what a lot of games that run on microtransactions do is that they maintain these two very distinct currencies. And in a couple of the presentations that I saw at GDC, it was like, you have to maintain two currencies or you won't get any money from anybody. And
what are the two currencies?
Well, like in
one is
Puzzle Pirates.
Player
there's
currency.
Gold. I mean, gold versus Stones of Jordan, of course. No, gold versus the doubloons you get or whatever. You know, and no ability to trade between them, which I'm not really sure why that is thought of as just this rule that you can't break, because it works so well for us. It works so well for us in terms of both getting us the money that it takes to continue operating, and in terms of people being able to experience all of the content without paying anything, right? I mean, it not only...
I don't know.
We
have hit a very nice sweet spot in terms of, like, players that just... that want all the, you know, the monthly items can get enough meat by playing every day and farming for it, and then buying from the player economy the donation item. I don't know. I think we are...
I mean, I just don't understand why... But I don't understand why that is not the goal, right? And why not only is that not the goal, but it is anathema. It is like a rule that you do not break. And I don't get it.
I don't either.
You know? it makes me glad that I didn't go to these things before I decided to make a game.
Yeah.
You know, because, like...
We break so many rules that are sort of just part of standard, you know, industry knowledge or practice or whatever. It's just, it's kind of frustrating going to these things because we are such outsiders in that kind of system.
I think that I should probably take a music break and recharge the laptop a little bit so that we don't lose our shit the way that we did last time. Yeah, and here's the segment of the show where I decide what songs to play. We're going to sort the MP3 directory by artist name, as usual. So we're going to see some Jane's Addiction, some Jimi Hendrix, and some Jimmy Buffett. And, we'll see you in, it's, I don't know, 10 or 12 minutes. We'll be right back.
watching the sun bake. All of those tourists covered with oil. Strumming my six string on my front porch swing. Smell those shrimp, they're beginning to boil. Wasting away again in Margaritaville. Searching for my lost sugar salt. Some people claim that there's a woman to blame, but I know it's nobody's fault. Nothing to show but this brand new tattoo. But it's a real beauty, a Mexican cutie. How it got here, I haven't a clue. Wasting away.
What would it look like and would you want to see? If seeing meant that you would have to believe in things like heaven and in Jesus and the saints and all the prophets.
Sorry for the extra long break, but I got nervous that we were going to lose the stream from my fucking laptop running out of juice the way that I did last time.
Just don't cross the streams, won't we?
That's true. That's true. Lork writes, ever considered renaming plus melee damage to plus weapon damage to avoid the confusion over the difference between plus melee and plus ranged? Yeah, I thought of doing that like on the 3rd of this month and did it.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is. It's possible that it didn't get pushed out. It's possible that he just didn't check to see, assuming that it hadn't changed for 5 years.
Right, right. You
know. Lork also said, it amuses me to no end when you guys get confused over UK stuff like pear-shaped and actually disbelieving in Cockney rhyming slang. Don't ever stop. I wouldn't say that we were confused about the phrase pear-shaped so much as curious about its etymology, which is not at all like being confused. And, I don't disbelieve in Cockney rhyming slang. I just feel like it is basically impossible to ever figure out what anyone is saying.
Yeah, that I'll buy.
Cloudstrife says, thanks for making a lizard familiar I'll probably never get. I mean, I've only been asking for a lizard for 2 years. I bet if you tried really hard, if you made it your goal to get one of those for 2 more years, you'd be able to get one. Schick says, I showed this game to a friend and he has gotten hooked and donated $50 already. I want a mystery furr. Or perhaps a mystery furr. Like, perhaps... I don't know, Kaiser Soze. ACM says, regarding disposition, which somebody was using as a verb, it does have a meaning other than personality or mood. For example, you could discuss the disposition of some papers, how they were handled, disposed of. So presumably the verbing refers to that usage. Okay, I gotcha.
Huh.
Zycho Jester suggest another on-demand shirt printing place. So, you know, we're really not interested in an on-demand shirt printing place. So it's...
I mean,
people can stop suggesting those, because it's like...
Who knows? Maybe we are. Maybe we are interested.
I don't think that we
are. I'm pretty dubious, but...
Yeah. SF Warlock says, Dear Jick, any progress on other ways to kill Hodgman with all of his side bosses alive? No, we kind of stopped thinking about that for a while and started focusing on other things. Had an idea that I kind of liked that would be some amount of extra work, although it would be some amount of extra work for C.D. Moyer.
That's true.
At this point, and not me. I need to get him up to speed on how that clan dungeon stuff works anyway, so that the next one we can just be all like, we're designers, and then have somebody else implement them. That'd be fucking great.
I can think of a pseudo clan dungeon type project that we could do.
You can think of a pseudo make me a sandwich?
Yes.
Polka Pilfer says, any chance we can get a curse item that intentionally causes misspellings? How would you know? Old One says, because the acoustic guitar drops in below decks, which you can't get to until you're level 11, can we get a power boost? Heavy metal guitar too, thanks. That's a good point, actually.
I see.
Make a note of that. Hot stuff.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
No, I know.
You're the one who balances items, man. Like on your nose and shit, like a seal. Only you can balance items that aren't round. I guess a seal could probably balance a broom on its nose, the way that a normal person can balance one on his chin. Do you think Patrick Warburton could balance two brooms on his chin at the same time?
Patrick Warburton?
Yeah. The live-action Tick.
Oh,
and the
maybe.
Voice of every character in every cartoon ever.
He has the same birthday as me.
Oh, yeah? Congratulations. I didn't mean... That came off meaner than I intended it to. I'm sorry, Riff. Ziltang says, the image for Loudmouth Larry Lamprey looks nothing like a Lamprey. How do you know? I mean, totally knows. The Kthreven says, wait, you said you listened to a bunch of podcasts on the Thursday show, all of which you hated except for Retronauts. I can only assume you either did not listen to GFW Radio, or you didn't listen to it long enough to enjoy it, because every single friend I've turned on to that show loved it. Please, please give it another shot. You'll be glad you did. GFW, I think, is another one-up podcast, and what I said was I liked Retronauts and One-Up Yours, which if GFW... Although when I looked up GFW, all I saw was a bunch of stuff about how it went away. So I don't know if that's a joke or... what the deal is. Gleeb says, have you been keeping the Doppelshifter up to date? You still have to do that manually, right? Yeah, I have. I think that it probably cannot turn into the new Raffle House Familiars, but I will leave myself a note to update that with all of the current Familiars. Captain Spam says, you hate graphical smileys. We hate graphical smileys. Why can't we turn off graphical smileys in the forums? Oh, I don't know.
You mean in other people's posts?
Yeah. You could just not use them if you wanted to turn them off for yourself. I'm surprised there's not a per-user option for doing that. Sparksol says, is the hidden brimstone bonus of plus items and all that stuff supposed to stop when it does, or is it supposed to stop at double when it does if the disembodied hand is holding a second bludgeon? It is not. I guess it's pretty much known about now. So it's... The multiplier goes up per unique piece of brimstone that you're wearing. So it was always the case that like dual wielding the bludgeons was not the same as like wearing the bludgeon and a hat. NC Sorcerer says, I think the Grim Hammer should really be one-handed.
No.
It would be so overpowered for how easy it is eventually going to be to get if it were made one-handed is the problem. LXNDR says, free rest on Moxie days? It's the only stat day without any rest mechanics. Yeah, but... no. Putinesca says, why does Salsa Ball not get plus X damage to hot spells bonuses? It's a spell, it does hot damage, it does get plus X spell damage bonuses. Huh. Yeah, hell, I don't know. I guess if it gets plus spell damage bonus, it should probably also get plus hot spell damage bonus. I'm surprised I actually made the plus spell damage apply to that, but...
yeah, that seems a little weird.
I hope it's capped. let's see. Cheese Dude says, it's not pronounced game facts, it's game FAQs, as in frequently asked questions. Yeah, dude, I know that. It's not...
Facts?
Yeah, he. It's not pronounced GAMEFACTS. I know. Right. Game facts. Game facts.
Facts. Like FAX.
A fac.
Like they will fax you a copy of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how that works. It's like Gamefly, only it comes to you really slowly.
Right.
And you have to type in the source code after you get the fax. Yeah. I'm not going to refer to that site as gamefaqs.com. Durgle says, where are all the dolphins in the sea? Have they suffered the same fate as their king and been caught in tuna nets?
Well, yeah. You will wish that they had.
Well, I don't know if we're going to end up doing that.
Oh, we totally have to.
But
it's awesome.
I mean, we ended up replacing it with the other... At least mechanically, we replaced it.
I thought we were just saving it.
Oh. Like it only happens down too low for there to be dolphins?
No. That's why they're so mean. They're angry.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, we had a plan for dolphins. I've begun to wonder if people wouldn't be more appreciative of the mechanic if it was caused by something that they could hate, as opposed to some faceless, just...
They'll hate the mechanic.
I know. They'll hate the dolphins. They do hate the mechanic, but if the mechanic was being caused by a dolphin rather than just by being caused by the game, hate the dolphin...
Don't hate the player.
Don't hate the dolphin. Hate the game, yeah. Or don't hate the game. Hate the dolphin.
Or you can just hate the dolphins, like the whole team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or the dolphin.
What happened to Hex? All I see is a construction site. Well, that is what you see if you've never ascended. Jeff says, "How about adding a second skill pop-up and button just so it remembers a second skill that we can one-click?" Yes, combat action bar. I don't use it. Well, use the combat action bar if you want that, and many other interface enhancements. Tatter says, what is the difference between melee damage and weapon damage? I wonder if there's still something saying that it's plus melee damage. I thought that I got all of those. Let me look in desk item and see if I fucked that up. I'm going to do a forward search for ELEE. Oh. Well, there's one place. But it was only in the offhand that converts hobo power to weapon damage.
Huh.
Item, push desk,
Nicodemus asks, why do decent sharks drop fish scales? They aren't fish, and they don't have scales either. Because of all the fish they've been eating.
Yeah, they're stuck in their teeth.
Yeah.
Smartass. Istanbul says, why won't you make the Hobopolis Marketplace not appear again for 10 turns if you turn it down? I hate to keep asking, but it's enough of a problem that I need some help. Fine, done. I read this and did that just for that. Alibit 15 says, what order do combat modifiers work in? Every 5 monster level negates 1% non-combat, so if you had plus 5 non-combat, plus 25 monster level, and plus 5% combats, would the net be 0% or plus 5% combats? It would be plus 5% combats. They are two distinct numbers that are summed together at the end to provide your overall level of plus combat, I think. H underscore says, any chance of using a click and drag system instead of arrows for moving trophies? What do you think this is? The future?
Someday, maybe.
Yeah. Tatter says, so does all the eel skin stuff become an outfit? Nope. Zach68 says, hey, Jick, please read this on your show and say, whoever fixed the KOL wiki and made it not slow, thank you. It just started being normal again. Well, yes, whoever did something about that, thank you. Blizzbub says, have you noticed a correlation between the introduction of new items and MMG activity? I don't know, because I've never paid attention to MMG activity at all, so. Spo says, can we have an asshat become meat smithable with a basic meat helmet so that we can get a gay-ass helmet? No. Blizzbub says, what typeface is used for the text in chat pane, commonly miscalled a font, for example, Arial or Tahoma, whatever. What does font mean, then?
Yeah, I'm confused as to what that...
Yeah.
Anyway, what font means to basically everyone who uses it now is the same as typeface. It's Arial. Everything in the game is Arial. Because I'm such a big fan of The Little Mermaid.
Typeface versus font. Yeah, I'm going to have to look that up because I don't understand that distinction.
Type login says, I searched for Within Temptations in the mall and did not find any matches.
Yeah.
occasional JD says, Jake, please play Vampire Bat next show. I'd even go so far as to add Pretty Please, maybe on the next one. Blizzbub says, please change the minus on negative amounts in the MMG to a character that the chat interface can accept. That's weird. I wonder what it's using, if not just a minus sign.
Could be like an M dash or something.
So Very Invisible says, shouldn't zombie waltzers give fully eaten brain instead of half eaten? There are two of them after all. Yeah, but they're too busy dancing to really concentrate on eating your brains. So they only eat a quarter of your brain each.
Greening Lad asked if some of the new Grimmicide items could be in a zap group, and contends that the price differences are just wrong and unethical. if you could zap them, that would be kind of giving you three recipes for the price of one, which is not how this is all coming out.
Lork says, any chance of lowering the Ring of Half-Assed Regen stat requirement? It's a newbie quest reward, but usually unusable for a few levels after you get it. I would actually like to fix that. If it's if it gets unbalanced by me fixing it, then so be it. But yeah, once I made that a quest reward, I probably really should have looked at its power and whatnot.
Most of the really early items are a little sort of questionable.
Are they?
Yeah. Well,
I'm surprised that the ring has a stat requirement at all.
You get it in the daily dungeon, right?
The Ring of Half-Assed Regeneration?
Yeah.
Not anymore. You get it from the quest, the Cobb's Knob little mini quest.
Oh, right.
That I put in.
Huh.
Weird says, why won't the mariachi statues in the Naughty Sorceress Lair accept my Calavera Concertina as an instrument? Well, it's because I forgot about the Calavera Concertina. Now that is on my list of shit to fix. Data Vortex says, could you please talk about the decision to put familiars in the Raffle House? This has disappointed me a lot. Thanks. I can kind of understand why people are disappointed by that, but at the same time, we are not creating anything that is harder to get than the most difficult to get familiar that existed prior to us doing this.
Mm-hmm. So significantly easier to get in the long term.
So, you know, I don't see what the fuss is, and I think that
you
this is one of those things
you can't have it right now, which I think is upsetting to a lot of people.
Right. But
you know, there are going to be a ton of people that can't have it right now because there just aren't that many of them.
Yeah.
But give it some time.
Inferno Hero says, with so many cool chat commands now, what about a chat channel that's just for chat commands without the chance of other people talking? You know, I use that all the time.
You have a chat channel?
Well, I have a clan with no one in it.
Oh, I see.
So yeah.
You could join a very small clan and belete everyone in it.
That's true. You could, you know, that chat channel, or you could make your own clan, put a multi in charge of it, and whitelist yourself, and the chat channel could be that clan's chat.
No.
That's a simple solution to it.
You could use KWE, and that would only be noisy during the fight every week.
Because you're not
whatever.
Allowed to talk in that channel, right?
But are you allowed to issue commands in that channel?
I don't know.
I don't know if you are either. So yeah, all you'd have to do would be to buy the radio. Noah Nemk says, was there ever an official rule that the / radio chat channel was exclusively for a radio KOL? No, but there was never more than one radio station, or there wasn't more than one radio station at the time. If there is some drama over somebody talking about GKOL stuff or whatever in the radio chat, then I feel like that drama should just shut the fuck up. But no, I mean, I don't think that there is any you know, this is a channel for talking about radio KOL. That is as much as we've ever decided what the purpose of the channel is, right? This is not a place for really firm rules, you know. So if you,
which makes it hard for some people to get along, which, you know.
I mean, I personally don't see any reason to not let people talk about like GKOL, or does WKOL still exist? I don't think so. They probably absconded with the donation money to Mexico or something.
I don't know.
Yeah, you know, what I would say is if somebody starts their own KOL shoutcast station, that nobody is ever listening to and comes into radio and won't shut up about it, that you could probably ask that dude to leave. And if he said, "But I'm not breaking the rules," you could say, "Well, yeah, you are, because I'm making up the rules right now." And if you were like, say, Sylvester Stallone, you could be like, "I am the law."
Wow.
I think that was the best Sylvester Stallone impression that anyone has ever done. Inferno Hero says, "What about a /cell command in chat to auto-cell things?" I can see that.
With fuzzy completing, that'd be great.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah. No!
Dreadful. Radar says, "Is there any way you could update the out-of-adventure screen to be more varied than the generic sad face?" Nah, I don't think it needs it. Because you're always sad, aren't you?
Do you want a specific sad face?
For every zone.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Eltracero says, "Drawn onward picture? Done!" I had forgotten about that because it was hard-coded into its own script. Feneldar says, "I'm not trying to be mean or anything, and having read this question ahead of time, you don't need to try, apparently. But are you guys just paying CDM to put Mr. Script into the game? Is he coding stuff behind the scenes for some future new content? Is coding a way to turn most of that annoying stuff off for the majority of people in the game who made a conscious decision not to download Mr. Script? I'm not trying to be a prick, again. Maybe you don't have to try so hard. But he's been really active, yet all he's doing is putting Mr. Script stuff into the game and similarly useless things like chat command things." I feel like saying that the chat commands are useless is being a prick, whether you're trying to or not, because just because they're not useful to you doesn't mean that they're not useful. We're talking about some interesting interface things that are, I feel like, gonna make those chat commands even more useful than they already are. And so, you know, they're things that make a lot of people happy. They're things that get a lot more positive response than a lot of the content that we put into the game. So, you know, we're paying him to do programming work that I don't want to do. And if there are things in Grease Monkey scripts, like, let's say that we wanted to add that one of my favorite features of Grease Monkey scripts, which was to, say, you know, randomly credit donations to other people. If we wanted that in the game, and I didn't have time to try and rip people off myself, I might have C.D. Moyer do it for me. Just saying. Anyway, and you know what C.D. Moyer's been working on recently is the fucking real-time PvP revamp, so shove it up your ass, Feneldar.
He's been working on it in real time.
Not that I don't like you, Feneldar, but seriously, man. I don't think that anybody else feels the way that you do about that.
Does Feneldar have direct ties to Mr. Script and is feeling toes stepped on or something?
I don't think so. I mean, he deliberately chose not to install Mr. Script, which was him voting with his dollars to not have any of those features in the game. The thing is, we are not really, you know...
They're all optional features.
They are, and they're also things that don't... You know, in order for me to accept it as an idea, it has to be something that's straightforward and sort of fit within the bounds of the simple interface that I crave, you know? So it's not like...
I mean, it doesn't even... produce extraneous buttons to clutter up your screen or anything. If you don't want to use it, you can ignore the fact that it exists and you'll never know any different. Or, well, you'll know, but it won't change anything.
If Jake had his way, the game would just be a single button.
They just said win game.
Yeah.
Because
that's a really simple interface.
Cyprane says, "Introduce a red herring food item." I doubt if we'll get through this underwater stuff without there being a red herring in there somewhere. Max Vance says, "So far there are muscle and moxie weapons that can be crafted with prismatic wads. Can you implement a prismatic chef staff, or are there no food-related jokes to make with that?" Oh, no, I'm sure we could do staff of rainbow sherbet or whatever. It's not... Doing prismatic stuff with spells just isn't as interesting, because prismatic spell damage is the same thing as just plus spell damage. Because you're never dealing more than one element of damage at a time.
That's what people would ask for. Then.
Well, sure, they would, but you know, I don't know that people can necessarily have that.
True.
And plus, I don't, you know, as much as I kind of like the idea, you know, something that we could do is we could, like, introduce a skill at some point in the game that does one damage of each element or something like that, and then whatever specific plus elemental damage that you had, you'd suddenly be breaking the sort of balance thing that we have where
a given number of plus points of spell damage are equivalent to a far greater number of plus damage to a particular element.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, we could kind of break it that way and, you know, maybe end up introducing some, you know, interesting strategies as far as, like, mana efficiency of dealing a lot of damage, because I don't know. I don't actually know what's possible to get in terms of plus a specific element of spell damage. Catatonic Monkey says, I have some of the new Grimmside items for rollover, but Sunday to Monday rollover, it appears as though I got no extra adventures from them. Yeah, I'm doing a little bit of troubleshooting tonight in the script on figuring out why that did not happen. And knows what the name of that variable is, so...
Is it rollover right now?
Yeah, it is rollover right now. And it should be in the middle of the inventory table copy, so it's one of those.
Is it just doing the wrong calculations, you think, maybe?
I don't know.
It shouldn't be.
I mean it's
pretty
not. I just had it echo the variable that it's trying to add to people's adventure counts, and I don't know why it wouldn't be doing it if it did. You know, they're all worth one tonight, so...
Okay.
It is possible that they were worth... Were they worth zero at any point in recent memory?
I don't remember.
Because if they were... It's possible that people expected it to be giving them the turns from the following day,
yeah,
and it was actually giving... It's giving you turns based on the phase of the moon when you go to bed, basically. That's
before
happening in the code before the moons get changed, so that might be confusing people. Based on everything that I've seen from the feedback that I put in there, it is working, so we'll have to see. Ekamekam says, can you have the report bug link usable even in combat? I've heard people telling me that they're stuck in combat and can't even report it. Huh. Golgothica says, the period after manage custom titles in the account menu seems unnecessary and breaks the conventions of the rest of the menu. You know, one of these days, me and the account menu are going to have a little come-to-Jesus talk. Foggy3 says, just wanted to mention that there does not seem to be a message for the Comic Chameleon when a tiny bust of Pallas wears off. There was also not one for when it was consumed, but I wrote a couple up real quick. Foggy also reported later that, unless Foggy3 is a different person than Foggy, which I have no idea, I totally forgot, and not because Hot Stuff didn't remind me four or five times, to put hat rack behaviors on the new underwater hats. So that's something that I need to do.
That's still broken.
Zatra says, a file of twinkliness that lets us do physical damage. I thought of... There was something that I was going to put in that did that, and I don't remember what.
Huh.
Fuck, what was it?
I don't remember. That wasn't one of the new...
I remember talking to Hogulus about it a long time ago. Maybe I said something about it in... Because, fuck, I just... There was something that was like... It was like an obvious... thing where there was some missing content and a gap that people were asking to be filled, and I was like, okay, I'll just make it so you can make a reagent potion with this specific thing that gives you physical form, and I just totally don't remember what it was. Oh well, maybe somebody else knows. Grevenelvex75 says, Dear Jake, now that the Chintzy equipment has been nerfed, how about removing that you can only equip one restriction? No, because the restriction was on there even without me paying attention to the fact that I forgot to put equip requirements on them, so still on there. Saint Zivlikix says, Hey folks, shouldn't the adventure where you meet Mr. Alarm add the wet stew recipe to your discoveries? After all, he tells you what the recipe is. Eh. Kevin B says, Why haven't you archived the October 20th show? Do you hate Iocane powder? I will try to remember to do that when I go to upload this show to the archive tonight. I don't want to ride my bike 7 miles before I'm at home.
You could get a taxi home.
I don't want to get a taxi home.
You could drive the truck home with the bike in the back.
I was thinking about that, but I'm not going to. I'd be pussying out.
You're going to ride your bike every day?
I don't think so. Yeah, that prospect is not particularly appealing to me. It's a little frustrating to not be able to, like, do anything after work if I wanted to, you know. It's not having my car. I like my car. I like having my car.
You have the truck at the office, though.
That's true, but... Oh, you know.
You could ride your bike to whatever thing you wanted to do.
Yeah.
You also don't ever want to do anything after work. And these are not the droids you're looking for.
Let's see. Lego6245 says, Cotton Candy Carny seems to heal when it should give you an item. Is that on purpose? There is never a point where the Carny is healing you when he would have given you an item. I made a choice which, in the long run, causes people to get more hit points and mana back that looks like it's giving them less back because they want the item. You don't always get an item when it's appropriate to do so. There's a diminishing chance of him giving you an item the more you've gotten in a given day. And what happens is, during times when he would be giving you an item, he will try to heal you anyway because it's possible for the giving you an item to be triggered by one of your HP or MP being under max. And so, basically, in that case, if it rolled for an item and chose not to give you one, I could probably write it a little smarter so that it didn't have the appearance of just wasting charges on you. Locke says, you should remove the non-combat bonus from Yandorian Finery for symmetry, or lower it to amount that's completely cancelled out by the plus monster level just to be funny. Yeah. That is funny. Evangeon Q says, sorry to keep pestering with the same topic, but an HP and MP restore sticker for the tome would make it so much more appealing, and we'd get all the fence sitters to go out and buy one. Not really worried about trying to make it more popular. It's doing fine. You know, we're doing fine, and we don't really need to beef it up to get people interested in it, because I think people are plenty interested in it. We specifically chose to not give it anything that impacted familiars, and to not give it any HP or MP restoration, so that it wouldn't be completely stepping on the snow cones. And that's it. ChefUp27 says, if I use a popper on a hobo, he comes back with the same name but a different outfit. How does he change so quick? Well, yeah, you know, when I initially wrote the hobo name generator, it was before I added the fight properties array. And so what I should do is the way that I override that picture in the fight properties array, I should store the name in there so that way you wouldn't be fighting the same hobo.
Also, you're fighting his identical twin.
Oh, right. Who dresses differently.
Yeah.
But has the exact same name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, twins always have the same name.
Oh, right. Right.
Duh.
Like Doug and Doug, those twins that I went to high school with. Evangeon Q says, the recently added shark tooth makes for an awesome shark tooth necklace. Any chance of seeing a sharp shark tooth ring and a shark tooth earring in the future? Probably not. Ever since the Raffle House opened, chunks of depleted Grimmicite have skyrocketed in price at the mall. Any chance for the Grim Grimmicite site to become an adventure zone? I don't think that we're discussing any options like that at the moment. Gimmick Ghost says, when implementing the Behold Bedsheet hat, was it your guys' intention to have players make ghost-themed multi-accounts? No. But, you know, it's cool.
Nor was our intention to have people make tiny plastic-themed multi-accounts.
Yeah. That was it's weird to see those, because I feel like they've definitely gone out of style now. So,
tiny plastic multi-display case clan is kind of funny.
Let's see. No Spine says, hi guys, would it be possible to make the Scratch and Sniff sword foldable, is that a word, into a mist type weapon as well? This would mean that us double fisting spell slingers can have it and another mist weapon in our offhand. It would be cool if the... Yeah, that's on the... I pinged CD Moyer about it because getting rid of that whole mist weapon restriction has been on his list of things to do. I think he might have just overlooked it. Let's see. Mink says, hey, Jick, I heard about your scorpion infestation. Do you have plans on referencing that in the campground when you rest there, such as you wake up to scorpions crawling in your house? Well, I wouldn't reference it like that if I was going to reference it.
Normally you're so kind.
I know. That you are, man.
Yeah.
God, Geth does that. It drives me nuts.
And you still pay the man?
Yeah, he didn't start doing it until after I'd already signed a contract.
Ugh.
That isn't true. I haven't signed a contract. What are we running a business here? Contracts?
Did you actually keep
insurance
pieces of paper where everybody signed over their intellectual rights?
Yeah, they're in. I think they're in the. We have a personnel file.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I know, man. Sly, man.
Is this going to go down on our permanent records?
It could, man. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a future tribunal. Once we've taken over the world, we'll have to become the law.
Like, the threat that this was going to go on your permanent record.
Because what the fuck does that even mean?
Yeah, I know.
It isn't anything.
I know.
Fucking assholes.
I know.
And I think, you know, I think I knew that. I had a sense when I was in school that none of it mattered, you know? And so I just never cared that I was in trouble. I never cared about getting good grades.
GPA enough for getting into college. College GPA doesn't really matter.
My GPA did not end up mattering.
It can, though.
It could have, yeah. But Of the Hill People says, "Hey, Jake and Co., have any of you guys played the Left 4 Dead demo? Finally, a zombie game worth playing more than once." No, I haven't looked into it yet.
I played a little bit of it. Well, watched other people play a little bit of it at PAX.
Oh, yeah?
It's pretty hardcore. Zombie, killing, shooting.
That's cool. RDFM says, "Also, never let Farmer McMillican Cuddy raise chickens. The roosters will get drunk in the shady thicket, and nobody likes cleaning up cock vomit."
Wow.
Let's see. Evangeon Q says, "When comparing Chester's Aquarius medallion to Old Scratch's manacles, there's a clear disparity of power. Why doesn't the Chester's Aquarius medallion have a tertiary effect?" Oh, I don't know. I'd have to actually look at them. Let's do that. So, manacles. Manacles have 30 hot spell damage, fix your spell element to hot, and give you plus 15% moxie. And Aquarius.
That's kind of two effects, two of which are kind of bundled.
So, I mean, it gives you sleaze spell damage and no additional moxie on the Aquarius medallion.
Does it also fix your...
Yeah, it's a spell fix for sleaze. Spell fix for sleaze is a weird... I feel like that's pretty rare.
Comparative.
To get it without the buff, yeah. The way that we balanced the boss drops was to avoid you being able to... The ones that give you plus stats were balanced against plexiglass, basically. So it could be that there was only room for one plus mox accessory, and that's why we did it that way. I'm not positive that that's what happened, but I wouldn't be surprised. Jetero Heller says, "I'd like to thank Jake for messaging me about winning the raffle Saturday with only 8 tickets." And I sent him a congratulation message. See, I like to reach out and touch the fans every once in a while.
Yeah, but usually you do it inappropriately.
I know. I like to reach out and touch people where their swimsuit covers.
Yeah.
Istanbul says, "I must bend you back and give you a deep, throaty man kiss for the marketplace fix. You are now my girlfriend." No, sorry. I'm Fineldar's girlfriend.
Didn't you used to be Constantinople's girlfriend?
Uh-huh. Yeah. ChefUp27 says, "Can you make it so it says in Ronin in a player's profile if they are? We have that feature for hardcore, so why not?" I'm actually surprised that does not exist. Wonder if what the hell? There it is. I wonder if rollover is operating properly. If it's proceeding apace. I think I saw the gap between the DB1 backup and the DB2 backup in the responsiveness of the Radio Bugbear questions page, but I'm not entirely sure. Oh, now DB2. I think DB2 is being backed up because the wiki update is stalling and the loading the daily script progress log is stalling.
I see.
How handy that you can't look at the progress of a daily script while the daily script is in the part of it that takes the longest. Anyway. Cyan220 is asking about stuff that he misunderstands. What he's asking for is, why can't you sell stickers to people in the mall? And you totally can. I think the perception of this item as a weapon item of the month is causing people to be confused about its nature.
We should just implement the thing where we take away the sword summon when you first summon. Because that, I think, would clarify everything.
Yeah, then anyone who had ever used it would only be seeing the sword come up when they try to use the sticker. Yeah, so that's... Yeah, and then that fixes that little balance issue for... It's weird that even though I feel like those people are acknowledging that if it had always just been a 10-power weapon, it would never have occurred to them to complain about it, but because it's possible to make it more powerful by waiting until later in your run, it bothers them.
Yeah.
And it's... I don't know. It's that weird, like, wag the dog perception is reality thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's a little frustrating. What we need to do is start exploiting it. We need to start taking advantage of it. We should just lie to people. We could lie to people and make them really happy, and then they would give us more money.
Like what?
I'm saying, if it doesn't really matter what we do, it just matters how people feel about it, right? So let's focus on not making a quality product, but making a product that people perceive as having quality.
Okay.
It's a perfect plan.
Okay.
All right. We've got a new
So next item on the
list
isn't coded and being displayed on your computer in binary code. It's being displayed in trinary code. This like super special experimental totally unable to get anywhere else in the world
mm-hmm.
kind of interpreter.
And functionally it's a barnacle.
Right. But that doesn't matter, because what's awesome about it is that nowhere else in the world can you experience this kind of computing power. It's going to be great.
Somebody asking to make container items non-discardable.
I'm wondering if they got burned on that, or if they're just afraid that they're going to get potentially burned. You in your... Well, I was going to say love-hate relationship with containers, but at this point it's mostly just hate.
Yeah. No, it is definitely a hate.
One way to do that would just be to delete all the containers.
Yep. Let's see. I'm going to try and get through these questions. XYM says, I went to a black wedding recently. I'm not one to stereotype, but what was served for dinner? Yes, you guessed it. Fried chicken and watermelon. I feel like that's a common thing to serve at a summer get-together. I think it was a coincidence. Ayumbara says, Fallout 3, the new aeroplane over the sea. Damn right. Renray says, have you guys played Amorphous? Any chance of more slime monsters in the kingdom? I can't stand that game.
What is it?
It's that one where it's like top down, your guy follows the mouse and swings the sword in a big arc. Your guy's just like an oval with a circle on it to represent his head. There's different colored slimes that come out. And it is basically this... It's like kind of a, you know, flash, level up, and unlock new upgrades and stuff game with fucking one-hit kills. There are enemies that just kill you in one hit. There are enemies that leave hazards behind that just kill you in one hit. Like, the game is...
I forget how that game plays out. It's hard to get to last for a long time.
Yeah, and it's just, like, in a game where you're going to have, like, upgrade progression, it needs to have some kind of replayability if you get killed, I feel like. You know, because otherwise it's just like, okay, here's this carrot, and, you know, every time you don't play perfectly...
You continue to make progress somehow, even in the games that you die, though.
Do you?
You're, like, unlocking stuff. Yeah, you're unlocking stuff just by playing.
I don't know. I also just didn't really enjoy the gameplay. I felt like... And I know that the sluggish controls are part of the challenge of it, you know, that it's by design, but it's just... I have a specific way that I want games where I'm running around swinging a sword to feel, and whenever a game does not feel like that, it's very frustrating to me. Terran Wanderer says, Fallout 3 stuff, you should do the main quest until you get some special training. Yeah, and I did that. And what weapons are you using mostly? I'm mostly using my coffee cup and pool ball gun, my my lawnmower blade on fire sword. Which a vampire taught me how to make. yeah. Chairman Rofflemow says, the best thing about the gun that shoots trash in Fallout 3 is making up James Bond-style quips about what you shoot. Like, you know, those things are bad for you after firing a carton of cigarettes at someone. The cartons of cigarettes sell for a lot to vendors, so I don't think that I would ever fire them out of...
can't you pick them back up and use them again?
Yeah, yeah.
So you could farm for high-value trash, and while you're doing it, kill a bunch of stuff with the high-value trash.
Right. That's true. Like shooting somebody in the face with a coffee cup and saying, how about a nice cup of die? Like that? That's what I would say. Although I don't. It's just funny to watch in slow motion a coffee cup knock someone's head off.
You could say something about how you just mugged him.
How I just what?
Mugged him.
That's true.
You'd want to do it a little funnier than that.
Right. let's see.
I think that we should be done being on the radio. I'm going to see.
We're over time, even.
We are over time. We started a little late, but that's okay. I'm going to go out on some King Missile, because that comes after the Jays. We'll see you again on Thursday, kids.
Bye.
Have a good first couple of days of the week. Bye.
Allusions to books that nobody else has read, music that nobody else has heard, and art that nobody else has seen. I can't help it because I am so much more intelligent and well-rounded than everyone who surrounds me. I stopped watching TV when I was 6 months old because it was so boring and stupid, and started reading books and going to recitals and art galleries. I don't go to recitals anymore because my hearing is too sensitive, and I don't go to art galleries anymore because there are people there and I can't deal with people because they don't understand me. I stay home reading books that are beneath me and working on my work, which no one understands.